It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We'll discuss your utility bill and recent rate hikes set to go into effect. First, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a story about a holiday display in northeastern Wisconsin.
There's a teenager in Oshkosh who's had a lifelong love of Christmas lights. Brody Enley has taken that passion to new heights with a choreographed light display that's raised thousands of dollars for charity. WPR's Joe Schultz has more on how Enley uses his hobby to support the community.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Thousands of Christmas lights flicker on an Oshkosh home, lining the roof and the windows, hanging from arches over the driveway and draped over bushes. There are even several light-up Christmas trees in the yard. The lights change to the tune of classic holiday songs.
I put this show together with just a little help from my family and friends. This year, I added RGB pixel lights to some of the outline of my house, and to start the season, I have programmed four new songs for a total of 10 songs that will play for your entertainment throughout the year.
That's Brody Enley in a message that plays during his annual holiday light show. The 13-year-old has used the show to raise money for local charities over the last 4 years. Enley has decorated the exterior of his parents' house since he was 7, but has been drawn to electronics for as long as he can remember.
Ever since I was very young, I mean 4 or 5, I've always been interested in electricity.
When he was 9, Enley created his first synchronized show.
It was really just me plugging lights into, I had a speaker box that would turn on and off some outlets on it and then play music aloud. But the year after that, there was a lot more involvement.
That's when Enley upgraded his show, going from 6 outlets to turn lights on and off to 16. He also began using the show to support local charities.
I really decided to do it for charity because I thought, if I'm already putting up this light display, why not help the community as well?
Since 2019, he's raised over $8,000, collected almost 500 books, and over 1,000 pounds of food. This year, all monetary donations will be doubled through a matching gift.
It's pretty crazy to me. I mean, I never could have even imagined being able to help out so many people.
Instead of a speaker outside, Enley now uses a radio transmitter with a small broadcast radius, and programming that station's playlist is his first step each year. Then, he sequences the lights on the computer to ensure they line up with the music.
I have a group that is all of the RGB lights on my house, all the color-changing lights, which I can put a fire effect on or layer them on top of each other to create more complicated effects, and then do that all to the music.
Enley says he's put in about 300 hours of work into this year's show. He even used a 3D printer to create clips that mount lights to the roof of his house. Enley says there are a couple reasons the hard work pays off. Those tuning into his personal radio station while they drive by the lights can hear why.
First, Christmas lights make me smile, and I hope my lights will make you smile too. Second, it gives me a chance to use my passion and abilities to do good in my community.
And his parents, Bronson and Cindy Enley, couldn't be more proud.
We've gotten a lot of great support from people who come and see the show and from a few corporate sponsors, but it all adds together to really help out, and I couldn't be prouder.
It's great to see his passion really give back to the community and help people respond so generously.
But with so much technical talent already, what are Enley's dreams for the future?
I have a lot of different career paths that I am interested in. The biggest ones being a computer scientist or being a software engineer.
Until then, Enley hopes to continue supporting the community with his holiday light display.
WPR's Joe Schultz brought us that story on Brody Enley of Oshkosh. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Want to make sure you catch every single Wisconsin Life story? Subscribe to our podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I'm Maureen McCollum.
It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Utility regulators in Wisconsin approved rate hikes this month for electric and natural gas customers served by two of our state's largest utilities. We look at the ramifications as the rate hikes go into effect, with heating bills slated to rise. Call in with your questions or how you're managing your utility bill on a budget. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Tom Content is here, Executive Director of the Citizens Utility Board of Wisconsin. Tom, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Okay, thank you so much. Great to be with you.
Well, let's start with these rate increases. We Energies is set to raise electric rates by 11%. Wisconsin Public Service electricity rates will go up by 8.6%. Your group has opposed these hikes. Can you explain where you stand?
Sure. We saw that these decisions were a missed opportunity for customers, especially for residential customers who were bearing the brunt of these increases. There were ways that by attacking and bringing down the utility's profits and giving residential customers a break in terms of the impact of these increases. The utility had originally wanted to favor residential customers with a lower than average increase, and we were disappointed that that it changed its position, and the Public Service Commission ended up agreeing that big business should get a low increase and residential customers should get a larger increase.
The utilities, though, they originally sought higher rate hikes. Would your group have supported some growth as justifiable?
Some of the increases were needed. There's considerable investments that have been made in recent years. New solar plants, and as well as a new natural gas project, power generation project that have both been approved. And once those are approved, they can be folded into rates the next time the utilities come in for a rate increase. And so those costs couldn't be avoided. And then other costs that the commission, the PSC, the utilities can't control is just the price, the rising and volatile price of natural gas and the rising price of coal.
And it seems too that the Wisconsin Public Service Corporation increase in particular was a compromise in the middle. They had requested, I think, a 14.7% rate hike initially. PSC kind of splitting the difference. Did you see compromises with these utilities?
Yeah, on that one, the Service Commission did end up helping residential customers in a positive way. And so for Wisconsin Public Service customers in northeastern and north central Wisconsin, northern Wisconsin, they're still seeing an increase, but it's not a double digit increase like the We Energies customers are seeing. So that was helpful.
But you just said this a moment ago, when you layer on these higher fuel prices and then, of course, increased heating demand when you factor in these below zero temps, what does that do to bills and the calculation?
Well, that's the thing, that there's a kind of a double whammy hitting customers, because you've got this electric rate increase hitting January 1st. And then all the utilities across the state warned in the fall of higher costs for the winter heating season. Linked to heating our homes with primary, which was in Wisconsin, is primarily done with natural gas. And the natural gas prices have just gone much, much higher, tripling and quadrupling at times from 2 years ago. The war in Ukraine, the cancellation of the Nord Stream pipeline, increased U.S. exports of natural gas as a result of that to Europe. The prices over in Europe are much, much higher. Don't get me wrong, but for Wisconsinites, some research we saw showed that this could be among the highest, most expensive winter heating season in about a decade, more than a decade, especially if it's a cold winter, which drives up the usage, obviously.
You didn't mention record high inflation there, and I'm wondering, is inflation tied at all into utility rates?
Yes, well, the utilities are seeing it. Some of the costs for this do incorporate into some inflation pressures, such as higher prices that that the utilities have seen to get solar panels to that would be installed in on Wisconsin projects. So those there's supply chain issues as well as inflationary pressures that are hitting the utilities. But obviously the customers who are paying these bills sometimes the impact of inflation on the citizens is lost in the utility conversation. So that's what we're trying to keep front and center.
Tom Content heads up the Citizens Utility Board, or CUB, sometimes it goes as, the nonprofit consumer advocacy organization. Call in about these utility rate hikes, 800-642-1234, what you think is and isn't justifiable. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Electricity costs we're talking about for residential customers of We Energies will increase by 11% next month. The State Public Service Commission, the PSC, approved the rate hike. The PSC regulating all investor-owned and municipal electric and gas utilities in our state. Call in with your questions, your comments on utility rates, 800-642-1234. Tom Content is here, the head of CUB, the Citizens Utility Board, and stays with us. Tom, let's look at that transition to clean energy. We Energies cited wanting to hike rates for investments in green energy projects. Are renewable projects driving up energy costs?
Well, it's a combination of factors that are really hitting at the same time. One of the enablers, if you will, for a transition to cleaner energy sources has been the low price of natural gas over the past 10 to 12 years. Hmm. And if you look, when utilities and experts look at what is the cheapest, least expensive form of new power generation to build today, it is actually solar. A solar project has become cost effective because of the dramatic drop in the price of solar over the last 5 to 10 years. But unfortunately, we're getting hit with this combined impact of it costs money to build the solar plants. You have to pay up front, or you have to build it, and then the fuel cost is free once it's built. But then at the same time, we're getting hit with these big increases in natural gas prices and increases in coal prices for the coal plants that are still running.
Are the electric providers still on track, though, with our state and Governor Evers' goal to achieve 100% reductions in CO2 emissions by 2050?
Well, they've got 2050 targets, uh-huh. And it's moving. They say they're on track, but they made some steps this year that some are concerned could slow it down, just because they ended up shifting keeping coal plants open that were slated to retire this year or the next couple of years. So for reliability reasons, and also because of the delays in some of those solar projects, the project delays, there's a delay in some of the older coal plants shutting down. So the utilities have said they're still on track to hit those targets, but that's what we'll have to see in the next few years.
We have to watch that. So do you expect more utilities to ask the PSC, the Public Service Commission, for permission to increase rates because it allowed the hikes for We Energies and Wisconsin Public Service?
Well, it's actually happening already in some ways, because all utilities can come in and pass along higher fuel costs those higher prices for natural gas and coal that I mentioned. Mm-hmm. So even utilities in the Madison, like Alliant Energy, Madison Gas and Electric, and Xcel Energy are seeing increases. The customers of those utilities will also see some increases in January. And then the way the cycle works in Wisconsin is every other year, a major utility can come in for a big rate case, which is what we saw this year with We Energies and Wisconsin Public Service. And so next year, we would actually see those other three utilities. We're expected to see them come in for increases as well because of investments they're making, as well as inflationary pressures. And certainly we'll be on target. We'll be on the job looking for ways to cut costs where possible, and really target higher than average utility profits that all of our state's utilities currently have.
We're talking about electric and gas utilities, the state of business, with Tom Content, Executive Director of the Citizens Utility Board of Wisconsin. You can join in along the way, 800-642-1234. Jeff in Delafield. Hi, Jeff. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning. The guest comment was interesting that the lowest cost for build out of power infrastructure is solar. I'm wondering if that includes the land use, and I understand it takes a lot of acreage to generate an appreciable amount of power with solar. So does that cost account for use of land that can't be used for agriculture? Maybe it could be green space like forests or native landscapes. So how does that factor into the cost of solar?
Jeff, thank you for that question. Tom?
I think that those costs are taken into account, but that's a really good question. And it is not, you don't just put a solar panel on a small piece of land.
You know, the Public Service Commission also lowered the profit margin that We Energies is allowed to make. What did you see there with restricting profit margins?
We saw the PSC moved in the right direction by bringing the profits down. But we, from Cub's perspective, the profits are that were allowed were still much higher than the national average. And that was one of the missed opportunities. The customers are footing the bill, and a study that Berkeley Business School came out with showed that customers are overpaying across the country by billions of dollars every year, just linked to excessive profits. And so we thought the utility could have taken a bolder step, and we're hoping that they will consider that in the next round.
As an extension of that, we've seen the activists in Milwaukee calling for We Energies to be replaced by a publicly owned utility. There are several municipal-owned utilities in Wisconsin already. How do municipal-owned utilities perform compared to utilities owned by investors?
Well, they are much more affordable. We have examples in Wisconsin, Cedarburg, Manitowoc, Sun Prairie, are just a few examples, and their prices tend to be 30 to 40% less expensive for residential customers than the investor-owned utilities, the big utilities who are mm-hmm. traded on the stock market and where the customers have to pay for those profits that shareholders are expecting. A municipal utility is owned by the city, so they're thinking of their voters and their citizens, and their voters, citizens, and utility customers are all one and the same. Hmm. And so they tend to be more accountable at a local level. There's just no need to have those higher profits for a municipal utility.
Do they get different treatment, do you think, by the PSC?
I mean, I think the PSC regulates all of them and there are rate cases for all of them, and so I think they get as much scrutiny. It's just that there's a lot less their finances are less complicated to review for the PSC's auditors.
How complicated would it be for a municipality to take over a for-profit utility?
There is a process that has been used in Wisconsin to do that. It is pretty complicated, and the cases where it has happened involved some utilities that actually had started to own water utilities in Wisconsin, both in the Beloit area as well as in Mequon in eastern Wisconsin. And in both of those cases, it was the utility and the city really came to an agreement where the city would buy back those utilities. And in the Milwaukee case, this is more of a contentious dispute or content. Mm-hmm. It would be more of a contentious situation. So it would be a complicated path forward.
We're discussing utilities and rate hikes in Wisconsin with Tom Content, the head of CUB, the Citizens Utility Board, the Ratepayer Advocacy Group. Colin, with your questions, your comments on rate hikes, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Utilities in Wisconsin are raising rates, and we get your reaction in the face of record high inflation this year, our state's transition away from fossil fuels, and efforts to make the grid more resilient to climate extremes. Colleen, along the way with your thoughts, your questions on utility rates, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Tom Content leads the Citizens Utility Board of Wisconsin and stays with us. Tom, let's look at low-income customers and households that are really stretched thin, especially now. The Walnut Way Conservation Corps in Milwaukee is working with We Energies and your organization to create a special rate for low-income customers. How would this work?
So this is something that's in place in other states where it's based on the percent of your income. You receive a discount based on that. And it's something that we thought, in light of the challenges that customers are facing right now, we thought should be incorporated into what we do here in Wisconsin for low-income utility customers. And the essentially, if you qualify for heating assistance, you would be eligible for this kind of a rate as well. Heating assistance can only go so far. And there's a lot of challenges when it comes to helping low-income customers. Sometimes it's the housing stock, so they need need upgrades in the housing to make it more energy efficient. But this low-income discount rate that the Public Service Commission is gonna take a look at, we're looking forward to working with Walnut Way, other interested groups, and We Energies and WPS to really develop that.
What's the path forward? What's the timeline there?
The commission is going to open a new case on that issue starting in the spring. So I think the hope is that something can be developed, proposed to the PSC, and that it can be improved, if not for the next year's heating season, at least by early 2024.
I assume all pandemic era assistance has sunset through utilities or through the federal government. Is there anything that could be carried over or any lessons learned there?
I think there are still resources available.
Okay.
Because Congress did pass a lot of funding. So, for instance, there's a rental assistance program that can help people with their utility bills. There's a homeowners assistance program mm-hmm. that can help customers with their utility bills. It's important for customers to reach out because what we've seen across the state is that far more people are eligible for energy assistance than actually qualify for energy assistance. And one thing that's a step forward on that front is that the state has created an online portal where you can actually complete all the application process online versus having to go in person. And as long as you have the materials with you, there does require some forms to be on hand when you go online. But at energybenefit.wi.gov.
Energybenefit.wi.gov. www.ohio.gov. We'll get that on our related links page there as well. So we have that as a resource. So, I mean, that's the thing, though. How does a person know if they are eligible to receive any electric or gas payment assistance? I mean, you really, I would imagine, have to do some digging and then figure out if you're eligible.
Right. If you're struggling, you should reach out to your utility to see if you can first you should reach out to your utility to see if you can get on a payment plan. And make sure you're on a balanced budget plan, which evens out your energy costs over time, over the months. And then there are other resources too. It is generally to qualify for energy assistance, it's based on having your income being a certain percentage below the median in your county. So nobody has that memorized, but basically the online portal and/or the 800 number, the toll-free number for energy assistance, which is 866-HEAT-WIS. They can help with that. Okay. And there are one thing that's important to note here also is that for people who maybe find out that their income is just too high for energy assistance, but they're still struggling, there are other options out there. Some utilities have their own programs, like Alliant Energy calls it Hometown Cares, but all the utilities have some kind of programs. And a lot of that, there's funding through what's called the Keep Warm Fund.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another resource for folks. Keep Wisconsin Warm Fund is able to provide help for people who might be slipping through the cracks but don't qualify for energy assistance.
Talking about electric and gas utilities with Tom Content, who leads the Citizens Utility Board of Wisconsin. Join in at 800-642-1234. Lisa is with us in Milwaukee. Lisa, what have you noticed about your utility bills?
Okay, my husband believes our bill went up 62% from last year. And we also noticed that there is a little fee on our bill. I don't know if that's every month, like for $2 or $3 to help with the needy, I guess. I don't know if that's what it was, you know, labeled as. And, oh my gosh, I will say one more thing. I have a small area where electric was being used, and it was double of what gas is used. So just explain where all that money is going if everyone is giving to the poor without, you know what I mean? The little $3 every week.
Yes, Lisa, thank you so much for sharing about your bill up 62%. And then, you know, Lisa, really looking there at the smaller amounts under that full bill, Tom, what would you say there?
Yeah, there is a small amount, I think, that a few dollars a month that customers do pay into what's called the Wisconsin Heating Assistance Home Energy Assistance Program. So it is a supplemental benefit that's provided for low-income customers that's beyond the federal taxpayer-funded benefit that Congress approves every year. That is on the bills, it's certainly not the drivers for the increases are what we've been talking about. And I think you can see volatility like that when especially in this time of year when sudden cold snaps drive up energy use, and that can be a real challenge. It's a challenge across the state.
Your organization is pushing utilities and the state to measure which neighborhoods have a high energy burden. And if you could explain what an energy burden is and the tools you're using to measure that.
Sure. So household energy burden is something that gauges basically how much of your own income is going to pay your utility bills. And generally, as an average, it's about just under 6%. Five to six percent that a typical household will pay, but then there are pockets of Wisconsin, both in the rural areas and in the urban areas, where it can be much, much higher. And so that's where we're. If Wisconsin Cub's been pushing for better data on this, and so the utilities themselves are now required to report compile energy burden reports for that they submit to the Public Service Commission. So I think really diving into that, that data can help drive targeted approaches and solutions to help people.
You said these pockets are, you said the pockets are in both rural and urban areas. What might be going on? Is there anything that is triggering these higher bills in specific areas?
I mean, I think it's energy burden is also sometimes thought of as energy poverty. So if you just think of where poverty is occurring, where unemployment is, rates are higher, where people are struggling. So you do see the kind of, if they're the state Public Service Commission put out a heat map, essentially based on the University of Wisconsin study, and it showed that the north side of Milwaukee and the south side of Milwaukee have some of the highest energy burdens. But then it also found higher energy burdens where in rural areas where people are struggling, where manufacturers have left the state, or at times when the farm economy is struggling. So Clark County is among those areas that we're seeing some of those higher burdens.
Okay, so really tied to economic forces. You mentioned earlier getting on a balanced budget plan with your utility. Can you explain why and how that works?
Sure. So this doesn't really save necessarily, but it just makes things more predictable. So if a balanced budget plan essentially evens out, if you get a set amount every month, for somebody who's not on that, they really see those spikes in the winter, like Lisa was talking about earlier, where you're seeing really high bills in the fall when our furnaces start firing up. And also sometimes in the summer if it's a hot summer that requires a lot of air conditioning. So that's the first. So contacting your utility to get on a balanced budget plan is something we encourage. And another thing we encourage is to see if you might be able to save money through a time of use rate. And that's actually something that all utilities also have. And a lot of people don't know about it and don't take advantage of it enough because the research has shown that more people could actually be saving if they were on these. And so what that does is if it sets you up on a plan so that if you're gone from your house all day, and if you're able to shift some of your most energy intensive activities, like washing your laundry, washing your dishes, to the evenings or early mornings and or the weekends, people will see that's when the price would be lower and you'd see savings.
Okay.
It's kind of like in the old times when long distance phone calls were expensive and nights and weekends were free. this is kind of, and I used to not phone home until after those hours because it was just so expensive, right?
Sure.
It's kind of a version of that. Right now, as energy use changes and more electric vehicles come online, the hours that are cheap and expensive might actually get changed. But for now, it's really something that is kind of unappreciated or people just aren't aware of. So we're trying to make sure people are aware and contact your utility and see if you could save money through a time of use rate, especially at this time of high prices.
Okay, take a look at that. How do we ensure our meter is being read or read correctly? Any tips there?
The utilities are responsible for that, you don't see as many people coming through yards as much because the utilities have many of the utilities have installed technology that allows them to read them from a truck or remotely. But if something does look wrong, you should reach out to both the utility and consider filing a complaint with the Public Service Commission, because the Public Service can investigate that if something looks messed up. If you're saying, oh, I can't believe that if something seems off, it's worth making those calls both to the utility first, and then if you don't get resolution there, contact the Public Service Commission, because they have a consumer affairs staff that can dive into that.
Tom Content is executive director of the Citizens Utility Board of Wisconsin. And as our state goes into this deep freeze, still time to talk about utility bills and the impact on your household this winter and beyond. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here as we look into rate hikes coming next month for electric and gas, what to expect from your utility bill this winter. Join in along the way, 800-642-1234. Tom Content is head of CUB, the Citizens Utility Board, stands for, and stays with us. Tom, you sent over the Public Service Commission's Strategic Energy Assessment 2022 to 2028. What does that report tell you about our state's, current and future electric supply?
It does show that we're in the middle of a kind of more change than we've seen in a long time over the last 5 years and the next 10 years. Things are changing dramatically as we talked about that, the dramatic drop in the price of solar. We're seeing more investment by the utilities for the first time in energy storage and batteries. And the costs of batteries have come down to the point where that they're pairing a solar farm with batteries is something that we're going to see more of in the years ahead. The challenge is how to keep this whole transition affordable mm-hmm. for customers. And that's where we think more attention needs to be placed on that. And the legislature may need to actually give the PSC more tools to help manage this transition, whether that's one of the key issues there is making sure that utilities aren't paying for profits for the utilities for years on end after the coal plants shut down. Coal plants that aren't, once they are shut down, we shouldn't have to keep paying and paying. That's another opportunity for savings that we're looking for in the years ahead.
That report, I noticed, called out the Inflation Reduction Act that may influence projections of customer electric demand provided in future assessments. Why is that? What impact there could be from the Inflation Reduction Act?
So the Inflation Reduction Act is going to have lots of tools for customers to save on their bills through it, whether it's installing heat pumps or other energy efficient technologies. There's the funds aren't available yet, but this is one of the biggest federal investments ever, or it is the biggest federal investment ever to tackle climate change. And one of the least cost way to tackle climate change is to use less energy. And so it's enabling ways that homeowners and renters and businesses can use less energy. So there are a lot of incentives in there for that, whether it's for extending the solar tax credit for 10 years, in having a new tax credit for energy for batteries, mm-hmm. so a home or business battery system to supplement solar, or just what we call the blocking and tackling of energy savings, which is steps to actually just reduce your energy use through more efficient appliances and equipment for businesses.
So the electric providers are saying, look, there are so many incentives in this law that is really going to have an impact on our annual demand for electric growth.
It could.
But
then you have to balance that with the fact that that General Motors and all the other car companies are coming out with hundreds of new models of electric vehicles just in the next few years. And so electric use actually is projected to increase over time so more of one's household energy costs will come through the electric bill going forward mm-hmm. because if people aren't driving to a gas station they're going to be charging at home. They'll be charging on the road, one hopes too, but primarily charging, most charging gets done at home. And so you'll see a transition there of how you're paying for your energy, but it's actually to fuel up an electric fuel vehicle costs much less than fueling up a regular internal combustion engine car or truck.
We're talking about the state of utilities with Tom Content, who leads the Citizens Utility Board of Wisconsin. Tom, we haven't touched on MISO, the Mid-Continent Independent System Operator. I think I got that acronym right. They're working on these large-scale regional transmission projects, these high-voltage transmission lines. What effect will that have on Wisconsin?
Well, transmission costs have already become a bigger and bigger portion of our bill here in Wisconsin, as utilities have invested in the in the power grid, whether it's building new big new lines to La Crosse, a big line up to from Wausau to Duluth years ago as well, and there are and the current Cardinal Hickory project that's still in the courts, but there are concerns about the cost of that and how that's going up. But as part of this long-range transmission planning process for the future, the MISO or MISO has just enabled or approved about $10 billion of new projects and across the upper Midwest. And roughly $2 billion of that would come from Wisconsin, or would be projects in Wisconsin. So it's really the goal there is to access the cheaper sources of energy from the wind farms to our west, the wind resource in the Dakotas, southern Minnesota, Iowa, it's much windier and much more productive from an electricity standpoint. So that's kind of the goal of getting power supply from here, from low cost areas to places where it's needed. But each project that comes up has to be approved by the state, and that's where these things, the rubber meets the road. In the case of the Cardinal Hickory Creek project, we were concerned that there were not enough analysis was done, and we were actually favoring a lower cost, smaller project there.
Well, Tom, thank you so much for joining us and keeping an eye on all this.
Oh, thanks for the opportunity, and hope people can stay warm and do what they can to save this winter.
Likewise. Tom Content is Executive Director of the Citizens Utility Board of Wisconsin. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.